I'm excited to start a new sermon series with us this morning called The Armor of God. It takes several weeks to look at it, break it down, and apply it to our lives. Just a practical story. So several years ago, I was introduced to off-road riding by a friend that had been into it many, many years. And sadly, I only started off-road riding in my 30s. I wish that I'd grown up with a throttle in my hand instead of a rattle. But needless to say, you start off-road riding in your 30s, sure, you're like such a huge, huge, huge skill foundation, a skill base that's just not there. And I've got the scars to tell and the pins and screws and stuff like that because of that. And the dude said to me, "No, Mozzie, don't worry, just get yourself some knee pads, man." And knee pads are pretty simple things, you know, it protects your shin and it has a flap that goes over the knee. And this was great and it worked fine. Till it didn't. So not long after that, now I'm into the off-road riding thing and I'm enjoying it. And one day, I was at a particular place and the guy said to me, "Mozzie, het jy die moddergat ontdek?" Ek sê, "Nee, wat 'n moddergat?" Hey, en verduidelik vir my, waar is die moddergat? Toe besluit ek, gaan 'n bietjie ondersoek instel uit van waar is die moddergat. Because an off-road bike and a moddergat equals groot pret. So I thought. So on the way to the moddergat, I found a little eekhoorntjie, a little squirrel running. And we're riding under blue gum trees with lots and lots of those little narrow leaves and little seedlings or whatever. And as per usual on off-road bike, when you open up the throttle, the back wheel fishtails under the power. And it fishtailed a little bit too much, and I put my leg out, and I fell over, and my leg opened that way, and snapped three ligaments in my left knee. And I'm laying there. I remember the pain and thinking, it was so sore. I was scared to look down thinking that there's a bone sticking out. I'm not exaggerating because exaggeration is a lie. This was going through my head and I'm feeling, nothing sticking out. Oh, okay, that's not so bad. And immediately shock hit my body and I thought, I'll stand up. And as I stand up, you know that when you stand like this, it's a ligament that stops your knee going further back. Well, that ligament was off. Guess which way my knee bent? That way. Bang, and I'm down. Whoa, it is nach. Long story short, two ligament surgeries later, implants and pins and goeters and stuff like that. So what's the point? I didn't have the correct kit on, because while a knee pad protects you from an impact this way, that's all. It doesn't protect you from your knee or your leg overextending this way or overextending to the side or to the back. So if you're going off-road riding, there's a motto called Atchat. It's an acronym for all the gear, all the time, all the time. After that, guess what I invested in? Knee braces, neck brace, bot, everything. So, and in the days when I was an instructor at the track school, I've seen enough people crash without protective gear. It's just not worth it. So all the gear, all the time. And when it comes to a Christian walk, the Bible gives us recommended uniform, recommended clothing. It's called the armor of God. And that's what we're going to take a few weeks to look at. So now that you've got that foundation, I painted some pictures in your mind. Follow with me in the book of Ephesians and chapter 6. Some of you might have guessed we are looking from verse 8 through to verse 18. From verse 6, verse 10 to 18 of Ephesians chapter 6. Thanks, guys, for getting it up there for us, and thanks for doing such a good job for the sound. I know lots of work. We really appreciate that. Thank you for the guys at the back and your labor of love. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 18, laying this foundation out of the NLT, New Living Translation. The second edition is what I've got, although I think they put up the first edition up there, which is actually the good one. This just a bit of history about the New Living Translation, okay? You might find some issues with it that aren't actually issues you'll see. Just get a good one that's got the footnotes and explains certain stuff. But the New Living Translation was so in your face, and it rattled so many people and offended so many people in a good way that they decided to tone it down a bit, and therefore they brought out the second edition. So if you can find the original edition of the NLT, that's the one. So what are the notes that I copy? Unfortunately, on my Bible program, has only got the second edition, not the original one. But the guys at the back, I think they put up the original one up here. So there's a word or two that might differ. Be that as it may, let's go. Father, we thank you that we can just gather around your word this morning. The truth is that you prepared a table for us in the presence of our enemies, Lord. You have prepared the table. That means, respectfully, you are the maitre d'. You're the owner of the place. You are in charge. You have invited us, Lord. And there's space for everybody at your table. There's good food, living bread, and living water. That's what we've come here for today, Lord. Here ons is nie hierso om te luister na nog 'n preek van iemand wat iets het om te sê wat 'n mikrofoon gekry het. Ek wil sê stem dik maak. We here hear from you, from your heart, Holy Spirit. Move in this place. Touch every person with truth and revelation. The transformative word of God, let it settle in our spirits and make us into the men and women of God that you call us to be. In Jesus' name, Lord, that's our prayer. Amen and amen. From verse 10, a final word. This is at the end of this book, end of Ephesians. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. And then after the battle, you'll still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. That's the shield of the breastplate of righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared, ready to go. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit. For people that think that tongues is not of the Lord. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Okay, so what's interesting about this passage and why it ends with a description of the armor and the book of Ephesians? In the Bible, the book of Ephesians is the go-to book when it comes to relationship challenges. Any relationship challenge that you have, children to parents, parents to children, brothers to sisters, husbands to wives, challenges in relationships in church, the book of Ephesians teaches us about relationships. Okay? And it's interesting that the book of Ephesians in chapter 6, it ends off the book of Relations focusing about armor. Why? It's because relationships are challenging, folks, because relationships are difficult and they're under continuous attack from the devil. When things go wrong in a church, it's very seldom to do with the pastor. Very seldom, it does happen. Sometimes die pastore maak ook droog. Groot droog. But most of the time, it's challenges in relationships with the people. You know? I've had people accuse me of all sorts of wonderful things. I just wish I was a big enough man and mature enough just to shut up when the accusations come like Jesus did. Say, yes, yes, yes. Just keep quiet. Just let the accusations come. Just let them come. But when things go wrong in a church, it's almost always to do with relationships. I don't like this one, and he did that, and she said this, and this, and that. Can you know, it's all, why? And the book, the Bible gives us help and guidelines for things like that. And this book of relationships teaches us how to work with each other, and it ends off with armor to get us ready for battle because relationships are challenging. Okay, can anybody relate to what I'm saying this morning? Well, you know, you come to church, you go through that honeymoon period, people come to church and it's, ooh, dis lekker, hier is die beste kerk ooit. Ooh, mosie, of pastoor, dit was 'n wonderlike preek gewees. You want to kill a pastor and do it in such a way that nobody ever knows it's you? Just listen to all the sermons and don't apply any of them to your life. Systematically kills them. So die ding van, I don't like it, dit is 'n fantastiese preek, pastoor. And then they don't apply it to their lives. And they go out and they gaan on with each other and no. Relationships are challenging. And we need to be dressed in the armor of God. Now, what's interesting, if you studied armor, how many of you have worn any form of protective gear for your favorite sport? Okay? You wear a helmet to protect your pip. Shake your head from side to side. Did you hear anything? Yes, I knew something was loose. You see, I'm going to catch you either way, because if you say no, I'm going to say, yeah, I knew it's empty. So you can gevang word. But we wear helmets to protect our head. We wear elbow pads, body armor, stuff like that. I personally, when it comes to my riding, I wear the most expensive gear that I can afford. Not because I want to show off for fancy bling, but you just got one chance at looking after yourself. You know, especially when you get older, when you're 27 like me, you need stuff that protects you because sore sucks. It takes longer to recover, and a little clipsy results in aches and pains that in places you never even knew you had places. But the point is that you got to prepare yourself to put on the armor. You see, if I have like water wings on my arm and I like a little tubey there, I can't go put armor on. I've got to get the water wings off and get rid of the tubey, you know. Some of us have tubes that can't be removed because you're expanding your ministry. But the point is, you've got to prepare to put on the armor. Simple illustration from the Bible, but so profound. So there's this great Philistine giant, racking say back and saying, the people of God this and the people of God that. Isn't there anybody to challenge me? It's Goliath. A little teenage shepherd boy comes down and reckons, who's this uncircumcised Philistine that's speaking against the people of God? Why is nobody standing against the oak? You see, David had a different mindset. He saw how God delivered him and the sheep he was looking after from the bear and the lion, etc. And this God, I know that this God is going to be able to deliver the people. So they said, okay, listen, boy, Saul says, yes, my armor, put on my armor. And Saul tries, David tries the armor, and it's just not right. It's just not fit for him. So it's important that we need to be ready to receive and put the armor of God on us. I'm taking a little bit long with this, but we're laying a foundation, so just bear with me. Is that okay? All right. So it's a book of relationships, and it ends with armor. Okay. And if you look at this armor, okay, we'll commence the series by noting a few things about the armor. The armor speaks about a helmet of salvation. Where's the devil's battlefield? Between your left ear and your right ear. If the devil can get you to start thinking about it long enough, he's got you. Because it works like this. Sow a thought and you'll reap an action. Sow an action and you'll reap a habit. Sow a habit and you'll reap a lifestyle. Sow a lifestyle and you'll reap your destiny. It's here. And folks, it's fascinating. I want to encourage you to look at an author called Caroline Leaf, a South African author that has taken the study of brains to another level altogether. The wisdom that God has given this woman is incredible. Ankie Rosa, Jeff Marai book gekoop het hoor. I heard about Caroline Leaf before that, but then Rissa blessed me with a book called Switch On Your Brain. It's fascinating to think of it. It's just literally electrical impulses between nerve endings and neurons in the brain that processes your thoughts and gets you to function. But the brain is absolutely incredible. They've worked out how the actual shape of nerve endings in the brain literally changes shape when it's exposed to the Word of God. And when you study the Word, it literally physically changes your brain. It's fascinating. I'd encourage you to get into that. But when you see what the devil can do in a person's mind, it messes everything up from here. So the helmet of salvation, what does the helmet do? Protects the head. It's supposed to protect the thought life, protect the ears, protect the eyes, protect what comes out of the mouth. Placing a guard in front of your mouth starts there. Helmet of salvation. The breastplate of righteousness. What does it protect? The heart. The heart, that you're in a place of right standing with God. Yeah, it's protected over here. All right. The belt of truth. It's got to be truth that holds it all together. Nidi upini van jou meerderesni. Nidi upini van die media. What the world thinks and what scientists say. They say. So suddenly, if a person's got a website and a briefcase, he or she is an expert. Well, I'm not an expert, because an ex is a has-been, and a spurt is a drip of water under pressure. So our final authority must be the Word of God, not what experts say, but the Word of God. That's what it must be. The truth that holds all of this all together. What is the truth? Well, the truth is not a fact. The truth is a person, and His name is Jesus Christ, God's Son. That's the belt. Then it speaks about the shoes of the preparedness of the gospel. Get ready. I'm ready. So it settled in my heart again this morning in the pre-service prayer meeting. I thank God that I don't have to come Sunday after Sunday, month after month after year, and we're in our 20th year now here. I thank God that I don't have to put something together to give to God's people. Come up with something. You see, folks, because what you draw the people with, you're going to have to keep the people with. So if we keep draw people with entertainment and programs and lights and smokes machines, and I have my thoughts on that, but we're not going to go on that. Instead of the Word of God. Folks, imagine this. Imagine we just come to church and we just look at the Word of God. Wow. Imagine that. Instead of programs, seeker friendliness. Make it lacquer so that it's okay for the world. There's a time and a place for that. Maar hang mense, dan moet daar maar onderskeiding wees tussen die samesyn van die gelowiges, by mekaar kom van die gelowiges, and just any other gathering with people that have a common interest. Okay? I thank God that I don't have to put something together to present to His people. What we have is the Word of God. And here's the thing. How many times have you heard the expression, oh man, you can't use that Bible because they've changed the Word of God. Have you heard that before? You can't change the Word of God. You can't change the Word of God. You can misprint interpretations, but the Word of God stays the Word of God because it's uttered by the living God. It's affirmed by the Holy Spirit. It's confirmed in our hearts. You can't change the Word of God, and that's what we present. I should be presenting that and that alone. I thank God that I have the Word of God to present to His people. So your shoes are the readiness of the gospel. So when you go, you're ready. I know. That when you go to people with the gospel, you got the truth. You got the good news. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You fight with that. Now, I'm going to ruffle some religious feathers this morning. Is that okay? We're all family here this morning. Is that right? Please don't get offended and I'll leave the church, okay? So, we say this. And I know why we do it. I know why we do it. Because we actually need to remind ourselves of it. We need to hear the scripture says in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. It's Romans 10:13 or 10:17. Check me out on that, but it's there. It's at least in the Bible. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. That's why when we pray like this. Here, if word say, and Lord, your word says. Okay? How many of you do that? Come on. I also do that. So we're taking the sword and we're like, Lord, your word says. Why are we using the sword like against the Word of God? Shouldn't we be telling the devil, devil, the Word of God declares that my name is written in His book of life. The Word of God declares that as far as the east is from the west, so far He's removed my sin from me. Lord, Satan, the Word of God declares that I am forgiven. The Word of God declares that Jesus Christ is coming again. The Word of God declares that He'll put you underneath my feet and you'll be crushed. Shouldn't we be using the Word of God against the devil instead of like against God? Lord, your word says. He knows exactly what His word says. Hello. But we need to hear it. That's why we remind ourselves. So we should say, Lord, I'm reminded that your word says. Something like that. It's a bit of a play on words, but we have the sword of the Spirit. Now that's great, Mozzie. This awesome. Ek voel al klaar toegerus. How many of you feel ready for battle this morning? So you've got a helmet of salvation. You've got a breastplate of righteousness protecting the heart. You've got the belt of truth. You've got the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. You've got the sword of the Spirit. That's fantastic. Maar. What about my back? Who's got my back? Isn't there something missing here? Surely there's something missing. What about the protection from the back? That's what we're commencing our series with. It offers no protection at all for the back. And there are several reasons for this. 3 points quickly. Number one, why is there no protection from the back in this description of the armor? Well, we're meant to be going forward, advancing the kingdom of God without looking at any poster. What is the vision of this church? Whoa, whoa. No. You see, everything rises and falls on leadership. So me as a leader, yeah, I'm not doing a good job because yellow is my bikki verlore da. The vision of this church is bringing the unchurched into the family of God to advance His kingdom. There's nothing about turn around when the going gets tough and run and just hide away somewhere. No. It's to advance His kingdom. Bringing the unchurched into the family of God to advance His kingdom. And you know, folks, you can sit in front of the TV from the comfort of your armchair with a remote control and you can watch a teaching. Because of modern technology today, you can get exposure to the most anointed and gifted and talented speakers on the face of God's planet. Why come and listen to Mozzie? Well, you still don't have the gathering of the saints. You see, you say you went to church. No, you listen to me. You did not go to church. Church is the ecclesia, the gathering together of God's people. There's something special about this. Okay? So, we come to church. We get ready. We get prepared. And it's about advancing the kingdom of God as this army. We're meant to be advancing the kingdom of God and not retreating from the enemy. How does that apply to my life personally, Mozzie? We'll come back for dadelijk for you, Bikki. Backsliding. Backsliding. What does backsliding mean? Backsliding doesn't mean jy sit daar so en jy's besoop by die kroeg en you're gunning on and you're fighting and you're hitting and you're breaking and you're gunning on. Backsliding, are you ready? This is close to our hearts now. We're being real with each other this morning, church. If there was ever a time in your life where you were more on fire and excited and on passionate about the things of God than you are now, then you're backslidden. Ouch. So may God help us keep growing and going forward all the time. That's why there's nothing about protection from the rear. Okay? Matthew 11 and verse 12. Yo, this verse. If you'd read it in a different translation, you might think like, what is the Bible saying here? I'm here to explain that to you. Aren't you glad you know me? Matthew 11 and verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, from the days of John the Baptist. What are the days of John the Baptist? What did he do? He started preparing the way for the coming Messiah. He started teaching about repentance and baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Okay? That's what John the Baptist's ministry was. He had the spirit and anointing of Elijah. He wasn't Elijah. Upon him to start turning the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to the fathers, so that we can make ready the way for the Lord. And that's how he does it, by having that kingdom connection with fathers and children again. He says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. I chose the New King James to put it there because other translations put it a bit differently. He says, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Wait, what? What's it saying, Mozzie? The kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. The NLT says, and the violent people attack it, like attack the kingdom of God. It sounds like it's under attack. So what is the teaching here? The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Here's the idea. And this is a quote from the Dakes Study Bible. The idea here is that before John, the kingdom of heaven could only be viewed in the light of prophecy. Then John the Baptist comes, prepares the way. Then Jesus comes, fulfills most of the prophecies, not all of them. But now that it was preached, men were pressing into it with ardor, resembling violence or desperation. In other words, they're getting serious about the kingdom of God. They're doing whatever it takes to get their lives changed. They're doing whatever it takes to press in and say, okay, here we hear that there is also there's place for Gentiles, not only Jews. There's place for Gentiles. That means everybody. It is an inclusive kingdom. It's an inclusive system of faith. It's the one for the outskirts, the rejects, the marginalized, the throwaways, the ones that nobody wants. Not people with a specific select high Jewish culture lineage, but for everybody. And now we have a chance to get in on this forgiveness. We have a chance to get in on eternal life. We have a chance to get in on a relationship with this living, loving God. And they started, we want this, we want this, we want this. That's the idea. They were desperate. So folks, how desperate are we when it comes to the things of God? That's the idea. The violent take it by force. They press in with this kind of, it suffers violence, and the violent take it by force with ardor, with fervency, with desperation, pressing in to the things of God. They appeared as if they would seize it by force. It expresses the earnestness that men must have in getting rid of sin, all satanic powers and the world, and in standing true when relatives oppose them. That's the idea of Matthew 11:12. But I encourage you, meditate on that scripture and ask God to fill in the missing pieces and color it in for you to help you understand. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. That's the first reason. We're meant to be going forward. That's why there's nothing about the armor at the back. Second reason is, we're meant to be going forward in growth and not falling backwards. If we're going to fall, isn't that a lovely sound? Yeah. If we're going to fall, for those watching online, the sound of earth, I think it sounds like a quad. But if it is a nice four-stroke with a nice slip-on, two wheels, even better. But a quad, it's okay. If we're going to fall, let it be into the arms of a living God. If we're going to fall, let it be into the arms of a living God. The psalmist writes about, though a righteous man falls seven times, he'll not be utterly cast down. What kind of man? A righteous man. So we stumble and fall in our journey. How many of you have got your walk with God perfect since you gave your life to Jesus? Ach, nevet. There was a time in my Christian walk that I was worse off than before. And just God had to just really step down and just bring about supernatural redemption. So, second reason is, we're meant to be growing and improving. Why do we come to church if it's not about change? Why do we come to church if it's not about improving? I'm sure you've got something better to do on a Sunday morning, especially in winter, when the spirit of duvet attacks you. Why do you have to get out of bed and come to this place? Why? If it's not about change, if it's not about growth, it's not about being challenged and encouraged and equipped and have your mind changed. That's why we come, to have our minds changed, okay? 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him. That's why we're supposed to be advancing, supposed to be changing. The Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. So the purpose is that we're supposed to be growing and changing. Nothing about the back and retreating. Okay, I know from World War II, they made jokes about the Italian tanks having one forward gear and 30-something reverse gears, because they just retreat, 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 retreat. But that time has come and gone. And the third reason we want to look at this morning as we start, bring this into land and bring it into the pits for tire change and a refuel, is the following. Number three, why there's nothing about protection from the back. And you guys shouted it out. God promises to protect us when the devil wants to blindside us from the back. And it's significant, folks, that God assumes that position, so to speak. That God takes up that responsibility. Why? Because the devil is like a roaring lion. Like a roaring lion, not a roaring lion. Like a roaring lion. Cannot produce, cannot make or create anything but counterfeits and copies everything all the time. All right? And his tactics are it's cowardice, and it's unexpected. It's times of weakness. It's times of vulnerability, you know. It's times when you least expect it. Times when there's weaknesses and gaps that God steps in there. You can imagine it's like you marching forward and it reminds me of that kinderlikkie, soldaatjies vir Jesus. Ek is nie bang nie, uit op Alleluia, of stap soldaatjies, and it's like a cheerful, you're going on, and meantime, from behind, hierdie groot monster van 'n demoon bekruip jou, and he wants to take you out, he wants to steal your joy, your peace, your health, your finances, wants to destroy and break down your relationships, wants to take away your hope and your expectancy for the future all the time. Break down your self-image. 85% of counseling issues is a poor self-image. Why? Because you're made in the image of God and Satan wants to rip that apart. And you can imagine when the enemy wants to do this, it's like God is waiting there. You touch my child. You touch my child. You see, when you're in covenant relationship with God, when you've yielded your life to Him in humble submission, God steps in on your behalf. You see, when we pray, the Lord sends His angels, ministering spirits of fire, to minister for us who have inherited salvation. Hebrews 1 and verse 14, I believe it is, or Hebrews 1 verse 12. It's Hebrews 1. Speaks about our angels minister for us. That's what happens when we pray. But when we worship, God pitches up personally because He inhabits the praises of His people and steps in on your behalf. Isn't that incredible? You see, folks, as much as we like teachings about spiritual warfare and rondai, shondai, hambakabasata, let's all have a bow tie, and engaging demonic forces and, you know, advancing and whatever, we're not created to fight demons. That's not your creational purpose. Your creational purpose is to worship God. Your creational purpose is to worship God. And when we do that, God inhabits the praises of His people. And it's good to pray and it's good and have angels do angelic things in your life. It's great. But when God pitches up, amen, everything's so different. So God promises to protect us when the devil wants to blindside us from the rear. Isaiah 52 and verse 12. You will not leave in a hurry, running for your lives, for the Lord will go ahead of you. Yes, the God of Israel will protect you from behind. Hallelujah. Encouraging, isn't it? It's interesting to note that the Bible wants us equipped with the armor. The Bible wants us equipped with the armor of God and not our Sunday best. I love it that the Derricks of the world, and whoever can come to church just in tackies and shorts. It's so lekker. And some people like to dress smart. They want to put on their Sunday best because they feel they honor God that way. And that's cool. But for heaven's sake, moet net nie dink dis 'n vereiste nie. Dat dit verpligting is nie. You come as you are. Come as you are. But the Bible speaks about putting on the armor of God, not your Sunday best. You step out there in your branded kitties and you're all smart and it's like, hey, I'm so smooth, I roll up here. You know? It's not about that. It says armor. What does armor speak of? War. You've got to be skilled. You've got to be trained to use that. It doesn't speak about your Sunday best, all the nice cool threads and the designer clothing. You know? It speaks about armor. What does that mean? This means that the Christian's walk is warfare, nothing less. No, not enough people got excited. That means that the Christian walk is warfare, brothers and sisters, nothing less. I don't know what you expect from your walk with God, but it is nag. Hoekom is dit nag? Because ons is in verhouding met die lig van die wêreld. Daarom is dit okay om nag te wees. Because we're children of the light and we walk in the light as He is in the light. So it's not about putting on our Sunday best. It's about warfare, nothing less. Are we ready for that? 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Doesn't say like, have the party and imanskain in Rosa and enjoy the hallelujahs. And here, you know, fight the good fight of faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. It's a fight, you know. 2 Timothy 2 Verse 3-6. Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. And athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. And hardworking farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. So, this passage of scripture, 2 Timothy 2, verse 3-6, speaks about these vocations. Athletes, farmers, soldiers. Tough, 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 difficult vocations. Tough. It's difficult, Yella. That describes our walk and our Christianity. It's tough. So, Ephesians 6 verse 10, we're ending off with this verse. It says, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. So, this week we're emphasizing just on verse 10. That's all. And I'm almost done preaching. I asked the deep end to come up and get ready to lead us in a time of worship one more time. It says, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. So what's the idea here? God and God alone must be the source of our strength. God and God alone must be the source of our strength. Nothing in this world, and most certainly nothing from our own flesh. It says, be strong in the Lord. So, folks, I want to close with this very sobering thought. Sometimes, listen to this. Please pay attention for just a few more minutes. Sometimes, God will allow the catastrophic to take place in our lives so that we can learn to have complete dependence upon Him. You see, if I'm at a place where my backstop is something else, so I think, no, it's okay, I've got this, or this can happen, or that can happen, or this one can redeem, or this one can rescue, or, you know, this, whatever can bail me out. Sometimes, God will allow the catastrophic to happen in our lives so that we are at a place in our lives where we are strong in the Lord and in His mighty power and nothing and no one else. So, how does your armor look this morning? Maybe the helmet's a little bit off and it's a lying radio boslace om leen see to come inside hierso. You know? Of die bulletheidskrif, of die huisgenoot, of in steede van die woord van God elke dag, of die slegte nuusberigte, en nie goeie nuus nie. Ek sê nie, jy moet nie na die nuus luister nie. Listen to the news, be informed, but don't let it overrule and overpower your denkwyse and the overruling thought pattern of your life. How's that breastplate of righteousness? Maybe it's shifted just a little bit to the side because of compromise and things are getting to your heart. Or maybe the belt of truth is just loosened a little bit because there's like, you know, compromise. Or you know, the shoes are on, maar hulle is nie eintlik vasgemaak nie, because you're not really ready and you're not really listening, you're not really equipped. And the sword of the Spirit may be using all sorts of other things to wage warfare with. And the shield of faith, you know, some translations say it stops the fiery darts from coming. You know, the shield of faith doesn't stop the fiery darts from coming. They keep coming. But if you're using the shield of faith, it'll stop the darts from hitting you, from actually hitting you and causing damage. But that shield of faith needs to be there. So how does your armor look this morning, my brother, my sister? Maybe some of us need to pick up some of those pieces of armor and put them together. Maybe you're fully dressed. You're dressed for success, like Roxette sang many years ago. I want to get dressed for success. Okay, get your minds back. I've just destroyed that song. It was good at the time. But maybe, so you're fully dressed in the armor, but you're retreating, you're not going forward. Whatever place of need you are at this morning, that's why we're here, for the Lord to minister His life and re-strategize us together. So, right there where you're seated, I want us to just get into an attitude of prayer. If you know that you're not ready to put on this armor, well, you're here now, right? Put on this armor then. Imagine yourself saying, right, I take the salvation, the helmet of salvation. So imagine you're putting this helmet of salvation on. Maybe you see a picture of a knight, or you're getting dressed for a bike ride or something, you put on your helmet. and you're clipping the buckle on and it fits nice and snug. The helmet of salvation, that Jesus has paid the price for your sins, that he's risen from the dead and that he's coming again. You ask God to cleanse your thought life. Say, Lord, forgive me of ungodly thought patterns in my life, ungodly thoughts, Lord. And Lord, I want to watch and be careful of what I see, the things I look at. I want to be careful of what I listen to, who I listen to, and what I accept as fact and truth. And I want, Lord, an angel placed as a guard in front of my mouth, that I speak words of life and truth and encouragement, that I can be a son of encouragement to people. And then, Lord, the breastplate of righteousness. And I know, Lord, I cannot stand before you except by the blood of Jesus Christ that forgives me, that I can stand before a living God, and that protects my heart, righteousness, that I'm righteous in Christ Jesus. And then, Lord, I put on the belt of truth, Lord, just to keep this all together. The truth, who is Jesus. The truth that is your word. The truth of my life. The truth of your promises spoken over me. Cancel all the lies. Remove the lies. The lie-based thinking in my life, Lord, remove those lies and replace it with truth in the name of Jesus Christ. And then, Lord, I take the sword of the Spirit, which is your word. Lord, there are thousands of promises in the Bible. Lord, I ask that you give me the one I need when I need it. The right word at the right time in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, supernaturally remind me of scriptures that I've memorized that have meant something to me in the past, that I can have my daily bread. And then, Lord God, the shield of faith. May I lift up faith. Regardless of the circumstances around me, I act in faith in every situation, Lord. And I keep that shield, protecting the fiery darts of Satan from hitting my life and affecting me, Lord. And then thank you, Lord, that you are my rear guard, that you protect me from behind, Lord. And Lord, if I keep the armor on, I never need to place it on. I never need to put it back on. As I start my day, Lord God, may I just be mindful of this, that this is my protection, that I guard my heart in relationships and the challenges of life to the praise and glory of Jesus. And we thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.